This is Revival X with John Burton.
All right, this message is titled Tear Down and Build Up. Tear Down and Build Up. Look at that. Everything's torn down because of that dude. And but there's trees starting to grow, and there's, right, so there's hope. And so the idea is that, you know, this is an apostolic ministry, and you got to know, my primary, or the starting point of my thinking when I think of ministry is not Revival X. This is, of course, an important part of it all. The starting point of my thinking is region, is city. That's where I start thinking. What are you doing in the city, God? What are you doing in the region? What are we to be focused on? How do we participate in that? And so that's what goes through my mind. And so I know in any city that you go to, and we've planted churches in two other cities, and this is part of the strategy. You have to tear down false altars. You've got to tear down your father's altar. You've got to tear down demonic structures. You've got to do that, because the idea of building an enemy territory doesn't make much sense. You know, so for us to go and to start to build an actual building somewhere that is an enemy to the United States, it's like, I'm going to go to this nation and I'm going to go there and they're all about war, and there's devastation there, and I'm going to build me a nice little building. Well, that building's going to get knocked down before I even get started, right? So the idea is that we've got to see transformation come before we can really start building. I was encouraging the folks downstairs when we were praying that, you know, I would love revival to break out tomorrow, but I've got to tell you, I've just got to let you know that's not realistic. If God can do whatever he wants, if he wants to blow it up, he'll blow it up. But in terms of a realistic approach, the reason we are here is to dig in and to dig wells and to contend and to pray and to pull down strongholds and to wreck what the enemy has done, and to do that's what we're doing. And so it could be years doing that before something happens where now God's able to start to move. Things are able to be built. It could be months. It could be weeks. It could be years. I don't know. But the point is that the focus is on the process. The focus is on the process. Don't ever come here and be like, you know, I sure hope revival breaks out today, and if it doesn't, I'm going to get frustrated. Don't do that. That's not how we're doing this. We need to mature beyond that, understanding that God, that we're laborers, and God has called us to prepare for what's coming. All right, let me read this to you. Guy by the name of A.E. Reinschmidt. I've always thought it was interesting, someone that just goes by their initials. I would be J.E. Burton. A.E. Reinschmidt. Edward. J. I know you were thinking. A.E. Reinschmidt, before Jesus died and rose again, they showed little interest in what he told them about the Holy Spirit. But now, after being assembled together with him in his resurrected body, an intense desire for the Holy Spirit had taken hold of them, so they wanted him more than anything else, right? And so, of course, Jesus was leaving, and they're like, oh, help us. Jesus, like, I am. I'm sending you the helper. They're like, all right, I will wait. I don't care how long it takes. They waited 10 days and they prayed. And then the helper came. The Holy Spirit came. Anyone who has received the Spirit as Jesus intends we should, cannot help being aware that the general attitude of Christians toward the Holy Spirit is one of indifference. He is being shut out. You know, and you can buy the t-shirt now that says, I refuse to tone down the activity of the Holy Spirit out of respect of those less hungry. We're not going to see this church built on the mediocre, on the marginal, on the passionless, on the apathetic, on the lukewarm, on the dead, on the religious. We're not going to do that. And God bless them, and I hope they come, and I hope they check it out, and I hope they get out, I hope they catch fire. But we're not going to create something to make them comfortable. You know, how can we expect them to come in and catch fire if we are not already on fire? Doesn't make any sense, right? And so we can't do that. Revelation 3:20, behold, I stand at the door and knock. anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and dine with him and he with me. So Jesus wants this to happen. Until we have a stronger desire for the Spirit, we may as well not talk so much about revival. For revival is the Spirit himself filling one's heart. Revival means life. The Spirit only is that life, the life of God. John 7, 37, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. But this he spake, he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. And so in order to see the revival thing kick, we've got to see the Holy Spirit move in much greater power. And I'm telling you what, everybody, I have no problem saying it. I love what we do here and I love the presence of God. We have not even begun. We're not there yet in terms of letting the Holy Spirit move. We're just not, being critical. I'm just saying we're not there yet. We're not there yet. When the Holy Spirit starts moving, look out. It's going to get crazy. It's going to be free. In the School of Revival on Thursday, it was our deliverance session. I taught on deliverance, and then we went through deliverance. And who would say, students, that some of you went through something powerful and God moved? Who would say that? Raise your hand. I mean, God moved. Yeah. And there was something supernatural about that, something different about that. Man, we need to see full-blown deliverance in this place. Right up here, we need to get the vomit buckets out. We pulled the bucket out Thursday. We did. I'm not kidding. It was a near incident. It was close. It was close. Jets are vomit bucket guy. he's got such a servant's heart. he's like Dad. Even if you didn't get the bucket out in time, I'm there to take care of it. I'm like, God bless you. God bless you, my boy. Actually, what he said is if someone vomits, he's leaving. That's what he said. That's what he said. And so that's, you know, that might happen here. You know, someone vomits and they're gone. They're gone. Going to Cracker Barrel. Okay. I totally understand that. I get it. I love Cracker Barrel, but all right. How about some deliverance in this place? Wouldn't that be incredible? Oh man, demons come flying out. I mean, for real. I mean, who is ever legit? You've been through deliverance and you felt in a moment a demonic spirit just leave. Raise your hand. Let me see you. It is the most absolutely mind-blowing, life-changing thing that can happen. Isn't it true? It's absolutely true. And around here, we believe that deliverance is very normal. Very normal. And I'm not getting into deliverance teaching today, but the idea is that the enemy hates us and he talks to us and he tries to get us to agree with him. And deliverance really at its most basic level is us believing a lie. That's really at its most basic level. The enemy talks to us, we believe him, and we're like, hey, thanks for that counsel, stick around. And that's kind of how demonization works. And when you are free from the lie, you are free from the influence. Of course, it can get much deeper as we hang on to the enemy. The freedom is mind-blowing. And I believe pastors in Branson should go through deliverance. I believe intercessors, prophets, I think everybody should be going through deliverance because all of us were targets. But let's look at this. God's got us in process, but this is going to help us understand some things. So again, building in enemy territory is not really possible unless there's great compromise. It's frustrating. It's tiring. It can be humiliating. It's quite futile. Whether it's a church, a ministry, you know, our family, our personal lives, we must tear down the fortresses of the enemy before we can start building. We must tear down before we build up. a quick little story. When we were in Manitou Springs, Colorado, which absolutely steeped in witchcraft, just a demonic center for the nation in a very real way. The occult was extreme. There were rumors of child sacrifices in the 70s, and there was all sorts of stuff like that going on. And so that's where, you know, we planted a church there. We wanted to be on site there, and we ended up buying a house there. And we were going through just some tough stuff. And as a family, in fact, you know, started losing some babies. And there was a gentleman, I think he was Nigerian, and very, very, very seasoned minister, full of the power of God. And he didn't typically do this himself. He had his teams do it, but he wanted to do it for us. He came into our house to do a house cleaning to see if there was anything going on in our home that might have been resulting in some of the difficulties we were going through. Well, they did the house cleaning, and he told us it was the cleanest house they'd ever been in, spiritually speaking, which was very encouraging. But then what he said was interesting. He said, my counsel to you is to sell this house and to move outside of Manitou Springs, which to me sounded very strange. It sounded very much like retreat. And he said, basically what I'm teaching today, you can't really build safely here at this stage of the mission, because this is very much enemy territory. He said, move outside of the geographic border of Manitou Springs. Make sure your family is refreshed. And then when you come in to minister, you're going to have strength. I'd never heard that kind of counsel before, but it was something that set well with us. Well, we started thinking about selling our house. One day, my lead intercessor was prayer walking, and the Lord spoke to him, and he said, you need to tell John and Amy to get out of their house immediately, like today. And so he spoke, and he was very trustworthy to me, and he said, this is an urgent word. I don't know how you want to handle this. The Lord says, you need to get out of your house now. And so we did. We moved out of our house literally that day. Our family went and stayed with our in-laws, and someone came to us right after that and offered full price cash to buy our house in Manitou Springs. So you saw God was at work there. And so it's very interesting when you start talking about warfare, start talking about apostolic building, apostolic advance. There's some things, you know, that along the way you're going to learn. So again, we need to tear down before we build up. All right, let's look at Jeremiah. Let's look at Jeremiah chapter 1. We'll look at the process it will take to experience revival and success in our lives. Jeremiah 1:4. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, okay, we're going to stop right there. The word of the Lord came to me, saying, here's your first point. I think there might be 8 points. Don't stress out. I'm not opposed to making this a series. Those of you would be like, my Lord, 8 points. What's he? First point. We must first hear the word of the Lord. You know, sometimes you got to cut a scripture in half and just stop because they're like, wait a minute. The word of the Lord came to me saying, and so there's a lot of people out there. They're like, wait a minute. The word of the Lord has never come to me, ever. I don't hear his voice. He doesn't talk to me. I don't have dreams. I don't have visions. Still small voice. What? I don't know how. And so we need to get to the point where we are hearing what God is saying. We don't want to wander around aimlessly, just trying to figure it out as we go. We need to hear his voice. We must hear the word of the Lord, or we will simply not know how to progress. It's all about being driven by revelation. It's all about, you know, my book, Revelation Driven Prayer. I encourage you to get that. It's all about hearing God's voice so that we know what to do next. I'm telling you what, this whole idea of prophetic living is foreign to a whole heck of a lot of Christians. They don't get it. They don't understand it. It's like, nope, I just wake up every morning and put on my shoes and tie them up and eat some breakfast and go to work and try to do good and be good and go to church and pay my tithes. And that's my life. I'm trying to get some good principles for just kind of living and having a healthy life and being you know, what God wants me to be. And I'm trying to do that and trying to not sin. And that's my life. That's my life. They don't understand most. They don't understand what it is to live in the Spirit and walk in the Spirit to where we're hearing God's voice. You know, the Bible says the sheep hear his voice. We need to hear his voice, and they don't get that. And so we know what to do next. I mean, I could stand up here for hours, tell you story after story after story after story of our life that has resulted in us being here today. And every step of the way, it was God said this, God did this, God set this up. God told us to move. God told us to change direction. God said, get out of Manitou Springs. God said, move to Detroit. God said, move back to Branson. You know, all of this, so much of it being what God has told us to do. If we didn't do that, our whole life would be unbelievably different. Amos 3:7, surely the Lord God does nothing unless he reveals his secret to his servants, the prophets. So we must gain instructions from God, or we are at risk of gaining instructions from the devil. Okay? Isn't it interesting how, as born-again believers, oftentimes it's easier to hear the devil's voice than God's? It's something to think about. It should not be that way, and it doesn't have to be that way. It doesn't have to be that way. It comes to a point where it's okay if we hear the devil's voice because we are so lit up in God and we have the authority. We know our authority. It's like you gotta be kidding me. You had the guts to talk to me now, even knowing how I, really, for real? Okay, good. Tell me all your ideas, devil. That's great. We must know what to do, how to fight, how to spend our time, how not to waste our time and energy. Should we fight the devil or should we fast? Should we study a specific passage of scripture or sow a financial seed? Should we go on a prayer retreat or serve under a mentor? I mean, these are just examples. What is the specific word of God that we will need to ensure we don't spend months and years out of focus? You know, prophecy. You know, we're in a time of great transition, guys, in the body of Christ. There's major things happening. You know, that we need to consider. These are exciting times. These are intense times. These are difficult times. We need to know that the old wineskin is not going to contain what God is doing now. We've got to know that. I'm all about reformation in the church. I'm all about seeing the shift come. I'm all about people hearing God's voice and responding and moving into the next assignment. You know, this paradigm shift is taking us into a new wineskin. It's a new model that is forming. This is a now prophetic season. Jeremiah 1:5. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you, or I ordained you a prophet to the nations. Then said I, Ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I'm a youth. But the Lord said to me, Do not say, I am a youth, for you shall go to all to whom I send you, and whatever I command you, you shall speak. Do not be afraid of their faces, for I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord. So now you're in a place where you're hearing God's voice, and you got to know that when God talks, you're going to be shaken up a little bit. You're going to be challenged a little bit. He's going to be calling you out of what you've been in. He's going to be putting you into what you're called to. And we've got to hear his voice. If Jeremiah would not have heard his voice, man, how that would have changed history. So what did Jeremiah hear? He had a very special calling and a very special responsibility. We will notice God's urgent and direct tone in this chapter. So here's point number two. Point number two, deal with your fears expediently. Jeremiah had an insecurity complex. He said, I just basically can't be used. That's what he was saying. He's telling God this. Some of you are in that place. I'm telling you. You're like, no. John, or God can use John. God can use Amy. God can use Joni. God can use Kylette. God can use, but not me. Not me. Not me. It's that Gideon issue where Gideon's like, wait, I'm the least and the weakest. And God's saying, go in this might of yours, mighty man of valor, right? And so we need to understand that there's some stuff we got to get over. What's your stuff? Do you have stuff? Do you have insecurities? Do you have fears? Do you have rejection? Do you have church hurt? I'm going to be bringing a message on church hurt coming up. Better get ready for that one. Church hurt. I'm not going to hurt you more. I'm going to hopefully set you free. But I'm not going to just coddle you. It's going to be a challenging message of wild freedom. It's going to be good. I haven't even written it yet, and I know it's going to be good. So you got to deal with your fears. God was direct. He says, don't say that. I'm just a youth. Don't say that. Don't make excuses. Don't do that. We're in a time right now where there's major rearranging happening in the world, really, in this nation. It's happening in the church. Those who were not considered capable for the task at hand are surfacing as qualified and being strategically placed by the Spirit of the Lord. I am fully expecting, I say it all the time, I don't expect this to be a mega ministry, but I'm fully expecting 100 or less, 100 or so, something like that, people to walk through these doors. Many of them have been marginalized. Many of them have been rejected. Many of them have not found their place. And God's going to say, this is your time. Step up. This is it. This is your time. There's going to be others that are going to come in. It's not going to quite be their time. They're not quite ready. But God's saying, you're here and it's time to get ready. Right? I'm ready to see this. Interesting, Kyla, we were talking about this very thing this morning, weren't we? We were having a meeting. We were talking about wanting to see men and women of God in this ministry take that next step into the calling that's on their lives. They are the hidden company of believers that have been waiting in the wings. What has qualified them, their faith, patience, and the process of God have all qualified them. Though others would disdain them for how they would do things, they are the cream of the crop. They are Joshua's with a heart to possess and divide an inheritance to the people of God. God is raising up these people. See, I'm the kind of guy where, on one hand, I absolutely appreciate and value and respect the older generation. I've taught on it recently. My book, Carry Like Mary, deals with that. I taught about it in the school. We're going to see many from the older generation. Get ready. They're going to come in. People from the older generation that churches have minimized or presumed that they don't have it anymore, right? And they're going to come in, and they are going to be fire starters. They're going to have wisdom. They're going to have strength. They're gonna have maturity. And then we're going to see the younger generation come in. And they may not have the wisdom yet. They may not have the maturity yet. But they're going to have the burning passion, the zeal, the energy. They're going to go for it. And the older generation is going to help the younger generation and vice versa. We're going to see this thing happen. I believe it's coming. There was a prophetic word that I gave to somebody once a long time ago, who is dealing with some insecurity in his calling. And I looked at him and I said, you need to know this was a prophetic word. This wasn't an encouraging word. This was a prophetic word that was encouraging. And I said, the Lord sees you exactly as the way that he saw Billy Graham at your age. Exactly the same. He sees the destiny in you. He sees the calling on your life. He sees it. I believe this is for all of us. No more excuses. God say no more excuses. There was a time when Amy went down to a conference in Texas with Emma Stark and Cindy Jacobs. And what did Emma Stark say? She's just like, this sword just sliced and diced people that were there. And she said, what did she say?
Now is the time for instant obedience, or even what you, or as in the parable of the talents, even what you have will be taken away.
That's an intense word. If you are simply skating along through life and doing the God thing, the church thing, the Christian thing, the American way, you need to be challenged, because God is calling you to something much greater. He just is. No fear, no excuses. All right, third point. Point number three. A critical process happens next. God's word is being transferred from Jeremiah's ears to his mouth. This is the step that takes him from servant to warrior. Jeremiah 1:9. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. The Lord said to me, "Behold, I have put my words in your mouth." This is the step from sitting at Jesus' feet to receiving the boldness and the power of the Holy Spirit. It's a huge step, and we all must take it. I understand the joy of soaking in God's presence and the worship music playing over you, and you're just there, and the anointing and the kabod of God is on your bod, right? And should I make a t-shirt that says that? Should I? Will people think we're a cult? They already do. They already do. Okay. That's a word on the street, Andy, isn't it? That's what you've been spreading. Come join this cult. It's not the bad kind of cult. It's a great one. They've learned from all the other mistakes. No, don't say that. Yes, you did say that. You said that? No Kool-Aid ever. Not at potlucks or anything. Don't bring it. You'll freak me out. Here, John, I made this just for you. Oh, Jesus. God, help me. Okay. All right. So, to bring me back to my point, I love soaking in God's presence. And there's a type of person that they do that a lot. But I'm telling you what, we can't just soak there. We can't just stay there. We can't just be little kids running into the lap of Jesus all the time. We can't just stay there, is my point. Some of us need to learn how to do that. Some of us need to do that more. But we can't just stay there. We've got a calling. We've got something to do. God's saying, no more excuses. I want to put my word not only in your ears, but in your mouth. I want you to start saying things. I want you to start advancing. You know, man, you know, I don't know. Some people that are on Facebook and social, what a great opportunity just to spread the fire of God. And yet all I see is pictures of cats sometimes. And I'm like, your cat's awesome. But what about Jesus? Talk about him. He's amazing. And then talk about, do cats go to heaven? I don't think they do. Just dogs. And... Just dogs. And so now we see the instructions. Here is what we are to do to ensure we can build a healthy life, a healthy ministry, and a healthy dream of God in our lives. Jeremiah 1:10, "See, I have this day set you over nations and over the kingdoms." Here we go. "To root out and to pull down, to destroy and to throw down, and then to build and to plant." So that's what's going on here. Put that slide, the main slide up there. So we see pulling down and tearing down and destroying, but also now planting. And the trees are starting to grow, and it's a new season. And so we don't want to be at the point where we think that everything is just fine and dandy and ready to go, and we just move in. And, you know, like when we own an escape room business, and, you know, we started by moving in to something that's already established. And it's like, yeah, I think this can work. But our dream is to one day maybe tear down an old building in Branson and level that thing and then build up a new business. I mean, I would love to see that happen. So it's the same thing in the spirit. God's saying the old is done. The old wineskin is done. It's time for the new wineskin. It's time for the new that I'm bringing. We've got to tear down. And this is true. This, as we see here, it's true in nations. It's true in Branson. It's true in our lives. Jeremiah 18:6. "O house of Israel, can I not do with you as this potter, says the Lord? Look, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand, O house of Israel. The instant I speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom to pluck up, to pull down, and to destroy it, if that nation against whom I have spoken turns from its evil, I will relent of the disaster that I thought to bring upon it. And the instant I spake concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom to build and to plant it, if it does evil in my sight so that it does not obey my voice, then I will relent concerning the good with which I said I would benefit it. So God's saying both ways. If you're building and there's evil going on, I'm tearing it down, right? If there's destruction and you turn from your wicked ways, I'm bringing healing. That's what God's saying, right? So we need to consider this, you know, here in Branson. So let's look at point number four. Point number four, we'll stop with this point today. A critical question. What has God set you over? What mission has he given you? See, God gave me a revelation regarding effective prayer. I mean, he gave me that. We need to receive the mission. And of course, that's just one mission of mine. But for me, he gives me this revelation of effective prayer. So what's part of my mission? To write a book on it? To pray that way? To believe that way? To have faith that way? To lead ministries based on the revelation of prayer that I've received? To train people to pray that way? To train people to walk in revelation? Train them to walk in the Spirit, right? So God gives me, he gives me this revelation at one point in my life. Just boom, he gives it to me. I'm like, whoa, that's powerful. That's intense. And it has changed the entire course of my life. Everything I do has that woven through it, right? And so God does this in your life as well. Let me read this lengthy passage here for you. About Abraham, he stood still before the Lord. Let's see, what scripture is this? I don't have it in my notes. Genesis, there we go, 18:23. And Abraham came near and said, would you also destroy the righteous with the wicked? We know this story. Suppose there were 50 righteous within the city. Would you also destroy the place and not spare it for the 50 righteous that were in it? Far be it from you to do such a thing as this, to slay the righteous with the wicked, so that the righteous should be as the wicked. Far be it from you. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? So the Lord said, if I find in Sodom 50 righteous within the city, then I will spare all the place for their sakes. This is intercession that's going on here, guys. Then Abraham answered and said, indeed now, I who am but dust and ashes have taken it upon myself to speak to the Lord. Suppose there were 5 less than the 50 righteous. Would you destroy all the city for lack of 5? So he said, if I find there 45, I will not destroy it. And he spoke to him yet again and said, suppose there should be 40 found there. So he said, I will not do it for the sake of 40. Then he said, let not the Lord be angry and I will speak. Suppose 30 should be found there. So he said, I will not do it if I find 30 there. And he said, indeed, now I have taken it upon myself to speak to the Lord. Suppose 20 should be found there. So he said, I will not destroy it for the sake of 20. Then he said, let not the Lord be angry. I will speak but once more. Suppose 10 should be found there. And he said, I will not destroy it for the sake of 10. So the Lord went his way as soon as he had finished speaking with Abraham. And Abraham returned to his place. See, Moses couldn't enter the promised land. There was only 2 people on his side. There was only 2 people. His entire experience in the desert was one of opposition of those who were supposed to be on his side. Joshua had radical submission and commitment of the entire camp. There is a mission and passion and critical mass that are non-negotiables. This is why I don't talk about becoming a mega church and just fill in the seats, but I do talk about getting, around here we call it the 100. It's Obadiah's 100 that he hid in the caves, 100 prophets. That's the language we're using right now. We're praying for the 100. Whatever the actual number is, I don't care. Symbolically, we're praying for the 100 We need that critical mass. We need those people in position. We need the laborers. The Bible said, pray for the laborers. We need these people who have been sent by God. We need these people who fear God, who hear his voice, whose message has gone from their ears to their mouth. People that are understanding they have a mission and they need to fulfill the mission. We need these people. This is what we're going after around here. We must discover our mission now and discover God's heart and then fight and possess the land here in Branson. You can be assured that whatever mission God has given you involves the devil. Before you can build a healthy family, you must tear down old patterns. Some of you in your family have patterns. You got to leave this place today. And you need to go home. You need to talk, husband, wife. You need to talk, if it's appropriate, with the kids. You need to talk and say, you know what? We've had some unhealthy patterns. We've had some mediocre patterns. There's not the vibrancy. There's not the life. There's not the discipline. There's not the commitment. It's not there. We need to break old habits. There's some altars there need to be torn down. Mom and dad, don't get to a place where you're living in a mediocre way and there's compromise and something gets a hold of your kids and they start tearing down your altars. Like Gideon was mandated to do by God. And make things a little dicey around the dinner table. But God's raising up young people. He's raising them up. Mom and dad, you better start leading the charge, leading the way. I mean, I think about this in my own life. Man, if I'm not here and I'm not focused on this stuff, I'm doing my best. I'm not perfect, am I, Amy?
No.
Say it like you say it at home. But I work at it, don't I?
Yes.
Yeah. Yes, I do. She loves it when I do that, when we have this interaction publicly in front of people without preparing her. She loves it. She's like, John, do that more. But you've got to take care of business. Some of your a whole heck of a lot of your breakthroughs is because of some bad patterns at home. Fix them. Just fix them. You only have one life to live. What are you waiting for? I mean, what are you waiting for? I've been doing it all my life. Well, how's that working out for you? Right? The enemy hates you. God loves you. Let's figure this thing out. Before we can build a healthy ministry, we need to invade the land. I'm talking spiritually. Before you can build a healthy life, you must tear down personal altars, idols, and addictions. There is a war to be initiated by us. We think the devil brings the war to us, but the reality is that our lives are torn apart because we are living in an atmosphere dominated by evil, and we are not initiating the war ourselves. There is no escape without war. We've got to go to war. Next Sunday, get to the last points. We're going to talk about understanding the strategy of the enemy, understanding his strategy. The mission that God has given us is not as simple as we would hope it would be. It's just not. It's just not. It's complex. It really is. There's layers. It's difficult, whether we're talking about ministry, whether we're talking about family, whether we're talking about our personal lives. There's a lot of crushing. There's a lot of crucifixion, a lot of surrender. There's a lot of you know, fear of the Lord. There's breaking out of old patterns, tearing down altars. There's a lot of tears. There's a lot of questions. At times there's confusion as you're not figuring things out and you're crying out to God. There's attacks of the enemy. You know, there's the armor we need to put on. There's so much to this process. But we need to understand that the process doesn't end when we have the process figured out. It just begins because we have a mission. We need to know our mission. Why are we on the earth? Why are we here? And there's a lot of different answers to that, a whole bunch of different answers. Why are we here? And then when we step into that, I'm telling you what, that's where life really begins to kick. You know, we tell people around here and in the School of Revival, tell them, listen, we're here to prepare you for ministry. We're here to prepare you for life. I want you to be involved in whatever causes you to come alive. Whatever causes you to come alive. What is, you know, you can do something. You can do something in ministry because you have a servant's heart, and that's amazing. But does it cause you to come alive? Well, what does cause you to come alive? That's where things get exciting. But there's some process that needs to happen before we get to that point. So stand up with me, guys. I'm gonna pray. I'm gonna just like we always do around here. You know, this is a training center. I didn't slap revival meeting today above the door. This is not a revival service. If revival breaks out today and the Spirit of God falls and the Kabbat of God hits our body, then that's amazing, and I want that, and I want that a lot. I really want that. I think we all do, right? But this is a training center, and it's an equipping center. And so week to week, it's all about getting tools for the tool belt. It's all about deeper repentance, greater faith. It's all about believing that God really desires to do some absolutely miraculous things. It's seeing the joy of the Lord explode in our lives. Do you know that all of this stuff I'm talking about, impossible without joy? You can't do it without joy. Joy of the Lord is your what? It's your strength, right? Joy unspeakable, full of glory. And so we can't do it without joy. We can't do it without freedom. If there's deliverance issues, you're demonized, you know, meaning depression or fear or anxiety or these things that have just been on your life for years, you know, you need to be free from that, right? So there's a lot of stuff that needs to happen. But I'm telling you what, God's doing it. And there will come a day when I don't even know if I'll have to put a sign out. People will just know there's revival happening, real revival, not manufactured revival. God's there. So in Jesus' name, Lord, we're asking right now that you would start to move right now in this place, right now. Lord, you want us to break off some patterns. You want us to surrender some things. You want us to get ready for what's coming. We know, God, that there is a battle. There is a war. Lord, that you have called us to win. There's some things that need to be torn down. Altars need to be torn down. Tear them down. God, we need them torn. We need them ripped. We need them destroyed. Lord, I pray that you would just challenge every one of us. Cause us to get excited. Cause us to get excited about what's coming. You don't want us to live a mediocre, marginalized life. You don't want that. You want us to be free, alive, strong, effective in ministry, whatever that ministry looks like, whatever that is, marketplace, preaching, being in the home in a very powerful way. Lord, I pray that you would start to move on our hearts, God, that we would say, you know what? I was born for more than this. I was born for more than this. I'm done. I don't care what it looks like. I don't care if I lose my dignity. I don't care if people stare at me. I don't care. I don't care. I don't care. I want you, and I want you more. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come. Jesus. Jack, go ahead and play Goodness of God. It's right below where we were. But I'm going to ask you, it's a short one. But I'm going to ask you right now, if God is working on you in this area, I just want you to get out of your seat and find a place at this altar right here on this carpet. And I want you to go after God. Is he challenging you? Is he calling you to repent? Is he calling you to surrender? Is something going on in your heart? I want to encourage you to do that. Find a place and pray and go for it. Come on, let's worship.
Thank you for listening to Revival X with John Burton. You can access media, read articles, and partner with the ministry at revivalx.tv. And share this podcast with those who are hungry for revival, reformation, and revolution.